From the divine perspective, this life is the place where the transformation from natural human to divine human takes place. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. From the divine perspective, this life is the place where the transformation from natural human to divine human takes place. Well, it's the life we got, the life we know. Are we going to make that transformation? Do we want to make that transformation? That's a big question to a lot of people. Do you want to make the transformation from a natural human being to a divine human being? Well, to do that means that all of the things that you're accustomed to, all the things that you've grown up with, all the attitudes and all the ways of living and thinking have to go by the by. They have to be released and no longer be part of our world. And do you really want that? Now, everybody shakes their head. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I'd love that. That'd be wonderful, be terrific, be marvelous to change from the natural human to the divine human. Well, it's just like if you were living in a very lovely, comfortable house on the edge of the city. Not necessarily a suburb or not, but it's on the edge of the city. And house has a big yard, a nice big yard. The children can play in the yard. Neighbor kids come over and play ball there. There's lots of room. You have an orchard. You have a garden. You have everything so beautiful. And in the house, you have each child has their own bedroom with their own, you know, closet and their clothes, and they have enough. You're not rich, but you're just living comfortably. Now, every night at the table, you sit around the table and you talk to each other, share ideas, and daddy comes home from work and mommy comes in and has everything all prepared, and everybody sits down and has such a pleasant attitude about everything. And then in the evening, after supper, after the dishes are washed, you do it yourself, you know. After the dishes are washed and everything's put away and the crumbs are swept up off the floor and what have you, then you sit in the living room and you maybe play a game of cards, or you play Scrabble, or you play Monopoly, or you play together, you know. Or maybe you just sit and talk. Maybe there's a family meeting that you're going to hold and you're going to talk about important things. Now that is a nice household, right? A very, very happy, comfortable household. Okay, your friend, Paul, he comes from another household. Paul lives in a household right in the middle of town. Big, big old house. It's got about a dozen bedrooms, more than they ever need, but they have them for friends and what have you. Sort of like a little castle. And Paul lives in this house with his mother and daddy, no brothers and sisters. His mother and father had no time to have more than one child. And so Paul has this big house to wander around in all by himself. And everywhere he turns, he bumps into a maid or a butler or some person who is hired to do things around the house. There's an upstairs maid and a downstairs maid. And there's a chauffeur, and there's a gardener. My goodness, the staff that they have is enough to start a little city, you know, and kind of pleasant. Well, this is upper level stuff. This is upper level. They're living in the cream de la cream. They're really having a wonderful time. They don't talk much, because they've got so many meetings to go to and so many activities that they're involved in. They're very seldom home. Occasionally they'll be there for dinner, but usually Paul eats alone. Now, Paul is told he's supposed to eat in the dining room. But Paul says, "Are mommy and daddy coming home tonight?" And they say, "No, I want to eat in the kitchen then." And so he slips out in the kitchen so he can eat, because he feels a little less formal and, you know, overwhelmed eating in the kitchen than he does in the dining room. But when his parents are in and out, he's got to eat in the dining room because they expect him to always eat in the dining room, always to act like a very classy little boy. Well, Paul's got everything. He's got everything money can buy. He takes trips around the world with his parents. He takes trips around the world without his parents. He takes journeys here and there. He belongs to the racket club. He belongs to the tennis club. He belongs to the golf club. He belongs to the junior league, this and that, you know, for the little kid stuff. Because Paul is still only about 8 years old, but he's really active. I mean, his mother and father keep him in everything, just like they are. Well, he's right up there on the top. He's right at the tippy top of being a divine human being. Whereas Arnold, who lives out on the edge of the city, of the country almost, he's living in a very natural human way. And Arnold has the activities with his family. He's feeling comfortable with his family. But now, Arnold was talking to Paul, and Paul said, "Arnold, I'm going to buy you a sweepstake ticket because I want to get one for myself, and I don't want to get one just for myself. I'll get one for you, too." So he buys Arnold a sweepstake ticket, and lo and behold, he wins the sweepstakes. He wins the $100 million sweepstake, which is a considerable amount of money. So Paul says, "I don't want anything of that. That's yours, you know." And Arnold says, "Well, thank you." And so he takes the money home, shows it to his mom and dad, and says, "Look, I've just won the $100 million sweepstake." And they say, "Well, Paul bought you the ticket. He should get half of that." And you say, no, Paul said, no, it's ours. So what do? You buy the house right next door to Paul's. And you buy this big castle, this big mansion. And you have all these servants and you have all these people, just like Paul does. And you get so busy in the social rush, in activities and in important things, because now you're on top. You're the cream de la cream. And you have to act like it, live like it. And Paul and Arnold play together, and that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed at all. It's just that Arnold has a bigger room now to play in. But Arnold misses the fruit trees in the backyard, and he misses the games of Monopoly in the evening with his family. He misses knowing his mommy and dad, you know, because they're at home, and they can be with him and stuff. And Arnold says, "Mommy, did we have to sell our house?" And she said, "Well, Arnold, we didn't sell our house. We own that too." "Well, who's living there?" "Well, nobody." "Well, let's us move back there." "Why would you want to do that, Arnold? Why would you want to move out of this beautiful, big, wonderful house and go back and live in that modest house we had on the edge of town?" "Well, it was fun there. It was fun there. I got to talk with you, and I got to do things with you, and my brothers and sisters, I felt good about them. Now, we just are playing games, trying to be like everybody else. And when we were living on the edge of the town, we were just ourselves. If neighbors came, we invited them to partake in what we were doing. If neighbors didn't come, then we did whatever we did, you know." "Well, that's right, sweetheart, but when you have a lot of money, you have responsibility." "Well, why don't we take the money and give it back to the sweepstake? Or maybe give it to Paul. He'd like that, you know, or his parents." "No, we can't do that, you know. We've already are responsible for it now. They've taken part of it in taxes from us and so forth, and so now we're responsible for it. Now, we're living up on the top. We're living in the divine human aspect of life. We are the greatest. People look up to us and they say, aren't they wonderful, you know, or lucky, or whatever they want to say. But think about it. That's a big responsibility. Now, to go from your natural human to your divine human is like that moving from a comfortable home into an experience that is not totally comfortable for you. As a natural human, you do those things that please you. As a divine human, you don't have any more desire for anything to be pleased with. You don't have any desire for having a nice house, for having a nice car, for whatever you think that you have. Now, is that so hard to conceive? Well, it's hard for you to conceive in your natural human state because you think you have to work for it. Now, Arnold's mother and father had a beautiful home, beautiful circumstances, and they were able to spend time with the kids. Now that they had this big house with these big responsibilities, they spent their time trying to think of things to have the maids and the butlers do and things for all these activities that go on around the house. And then they had to check to make sure that the maids and butlers did their duty, because if they didn't check, then the maids and butlers quite likely wouldn't do their duty. And they had to make sure that the car was in good shape and that the driver, the chauffeur, knew what he was doing. And they had to make sure of this and that and the other. They had so many duties, which they didn't have before. Before, they just came home and they did their thing, and then in the morning they went to work, but while they were home, they didn't have to do a whole lot of stuff. Maybe go out and pick the oranges or pick the apples or pick the fruit from the fruit tree, and maybe work in the garden, but the whole family worked in the garden together. It was a happy sharing type of thing. And then, when you're a divine human, there's no more sharing, because you're there. Now, can you share with your parents your divine humanity? No. Can you share with your family your divine humanity? No. Because if your family doesn't see you as divinely human, then they won't see you as divinely human. They'll see you as a silly person doing things that doesn't fit into their everyday activity. Because a divine human being does things a little differently than a normal human being. A normal human being takes out the broom and sweeps the floor. Yeah. Divine human being has a thought, the floor is clean, and woof, there's no dust or dirt on it. You say, oh boy, would I like that? Oh man, would I like that? Oh, how? Well, you can have it, but you don't really like it. Because if you liked it, then what would you have for you to do in your human state? Because when you get to your divine state, there's no need for these things. There's no desire for them. You say, well, why are you here? Well, that's a good question. But there's no need or desire for these outer things. There cannot be. There cannot be, because it doesn't fit into the plan, into the program. So, where do we go from there? From the divine perspective, this life is the place where the transformation from the natural human to the divine human takes place. But, like with spiritual healing, it takes place every day with millions of people all over the world, and we don't even know it. Unless we are divinely human, we cannot look at another person and see them divinely human. We see them as naturally human, and we think, oh, how nice. The moment we look from the divinely human point of view, we will see everybody just marvelous, just really fantastic. But are we ready for that? And the question is, no. The answer is no. The reason we're not ready for it is because you desire what the divine human has. And so long as you desire what the divine human has, you can't have what the divine human has. Because the divine human does not desire it. He is it. And this is the great thing about this. But think on this here. It's not just cut and dried like it might seem. From the divine perspective, this life is the place where the transformation from natural human to divine human takes place. Now, are you going to start turning your attention to looking within yourself for the divine human? Are you going to start turning your attention to looking within for the reality of who you are, and not wanting to be it, just observing. If I say, oh, look at that, and you hear a crash or you hear whatever, and you look out there expecting to see a crash, and you see a crash. If I say, oh, look at that, and you hear a crash, and you say, all is in divine order, and then you look out there and you don't see a crash. Now, who's the master? Both. The master is the one who sees the crash, and the master is the one who doesn't see the crash. But what kind of master do you want to be? The one who sees the crash, or who doesn't? The one who sees all in divine order, or the one who sees a lot of work to be done? Good question. Think on these things, because it's happening all the time. And it could happen to you too right now. I love you. Have a good day, and think beautiful thoughts.